to close this series. So we've done a series on spiritual disciplines. And I guess to just recap briefly, we've talked about seven in this series. There's two other disciplines, prayer and fasting, that we spoke about earlier. So I haven't included it in this series. But just a recap for your sake and for see if you paid attention. What was number one that we talked about? And it's the most important. Starts with an M, meditation, right? The discipline of meditation, and that's from the ancient perspective, that's the avenue to develop a personal relationship with God. It's one thing to be associated with God. It's another thing to know God. Mm-hmm. Amen? So we want to know God. The second thing was what? Starts with an S. Simplicity. Everybody say simplicity. And the idea about all of these disciplines, not one of these disciplines is a silver bullet to spiritual depth. But together, they cause us to not be a mile wide and a half inch deep. They cause us to grow deeper and to experience life on a greater level. And it's really so that we can go into the world and touch lives. Amen? And so simplicity. And that's the idea. We spent a significant amount of time talking about the opposite of simplicity according to Scripture, which is the idea of covetousness. So simplicity is not going off grid, living in a cabin, only having one pair of shoes and, you know, one pair of clothes. And it's not that. It is about, though, realizing that things should never hold us. Do you know what I mean? Things should never have a hold on us. Take things in our lives and let's hold on to them very loosely. Amen? Third, we talked about what starts with an S as well. Serving. Okay? How many of you know it's important to serve? So we talked about being a slave or being a servant, being the lowest of the low, but voluntarily. That we say, you know what, God, you're the most wonderful master of the universe, and I just want to give up my right to independent living, and I want to serve you. Amen? Important. Fourth one was what? Solitude. Everybody say solitude. And this one is one that is becoming more difficult as we go on in time. Because there's a lot of noise in the world. I'm not talking just audible. I'm just talking about noise of life. There's so much information at our fingertips that there's just, it's hard. How many of you, that one's hard for some people. A lot of people with certain different personality types just find it hard to get quiet. It's just like, shut up for a while, please. You know what I mean? And it's hard sometimes for us to come to that quiet place. I just look at it this way. If Jesus did it, I have to do it. Yeah. You know, for Jesus, and how many of you know Jesus wasn't a mile wide and a half inch deep? Okay, we're talking as deep as you can get. And Jesus found the need to get quiet and to have solitude. If he did, how much more do we need it? Okay, that's number four. Number five starts with a C. Confession. This is a very difficult one. Of the ones that we talked with so far, this could be one of the most difficult. Because this is the idea that we all... Turn to your neighbor. Okay, look at him. Now look at him in light of this. Try to identify which mask they're wearing. Because your neighbor is wearing a mask. Amen? You don't agree? I say every one of us in this room are wearing a mask. Every one of us in this room. In other words, when you look at that person that's sitting beside you, you do not have a clue because their mask looks so wonderful. But you know that person whose eyes you looked at? Look at the other person next to you. You know what? You may be looking in the eyes. I'm just going to be, I know it's kind of shocking. You may be looking in the eyes of a pervert. You may be looking in the eyes of somebody that's totally bound by pornography. Totally bound by pornography. You may be looking in the eyes of somebody that spent hours on a computer last night looking at pornography. You may be looking in the eyes of somebody that's a habitual liar. You may be looking in the eyes that's bound by gambling. You just don't have a clue because their mask looks so wonderful. And the idea is if we separate ourselves from people, Christianity cannot be lived out in a vacuum of being alone. The instant it does, I'm just going to tell you this, the instant it does, your growth in Christ will cease. The instant you remove yourself from people and that there's nobody in your life that you can
confess to.
We're not talking about standing in the public square and confessing your sins, but what we are talking about is confessing our sins. The scripture is very clear. Confess your faults one to another. Okay, the idea there is to do it in wisdom, right? The question is who is in your life that you can ask to help hold you accountable to? Amen? We can't live out our Christian life in isolation. The sixth one starts with a W, worship. So worship is an important discipline. That's what we're here today for, is to worship God. We went at it from the perspective that it's always been known, always been understood in Christianity, I think maybe till the last 100 years or so, specifically in America, but worship has always been looked at historically as work. Everybody say work. I'm not talking about works. I'm talking about work. How many of you know it takes work on purpose, strategic effort to worship God in spirit and in truth? Amen? It is to come to that spot. Okay, today we're going to talk about one that just will put a smile on your face. Everybody say celebration. Celebrate. Remember that? I don't know if it was in Israel. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Da 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 ba ba. Celebrate, right? Celebration, here's how I'm going to talk about it from. Celebration, because I know some of you are going, Pastor, if you knew my life, there's really not a whole lot to celebrate. There's not a lot of great going on in me, in my situation. So here's why it's a discipline. Everybody say discipline. We have to practice celebration. What do you mean by practice? Well, what do we do with, you know, it's basketball season, so, you know, kids will go out and their coach will ask them to shoot. Is basketball over? Not just yet. We're kind of coming close, right? Aren't we getting down to districts and stuff like that? Okay. Well, all these kids from all these schools, boys and girls alike, spend time in the gym and they're going to practice a free throw, right? Usually a lot of coaches, not every coach, but a lot of coaches, you know, maybe at the end of practice, it's like, all right, shoot 45 out of 53 throws, right? So you shoot, you know, you set up, you shoot, you look at your delivery, yik, yik, yik. And if you miss, what do? You don't throw the basketball off to the side and go, well, I'm done. No, we practice again. Maybe we'll pull somebody alongside of us. Maybe we'll pull a coach alongside and say, man, just what am I doing? I can't make this to save my life. And what will they do? They'll coach us along the way and go, now wait, okay, got to change this. You got to change that. You know, get your feet set. You know, whatever it is. I'm not a basketball player, so I can't even speak intelligently about it at all. But they'll do that. And what do? We practice. Well, Pastor, I can't celebrate. It's just not in my nature. Well, okay, that's what these mentors would come alongside for and say, listen, you can celebrate. You can learn to be a celebrative person. And some people, now they come by it naturally, right? And I don't know, you know, you've probably heard a lot of the different personality type things, you know, Myers-Briggs and, you know, type A, type, you know, whatever, type B, type whatever. I love the one that I probably like the most is the Gary Smalley Trent, John Trent deal of the animals. If you don't know that one, so a lion is one. So let me just ask a question. When you think of lion, do you think of fun? Mm-mm. You kind of think of awe a little bit. It's like, wow, majestic. And say, like, yeah, you know, we've all watched the United Kingdom is that right? Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. I don't even know if that goes on anymore, but I guess it's aging me. But we know that lions can play. We've seen that. But when you think of lion, you think of leader. You think of roar, right? You don't think of just party animal. Then there's the golden retriever, right? So, you know, when you think of golden retriever, golden retrievers are loyal. People have that they're just loyal. They're just great. You know, they're just loyal. They're just always there. They're just always at your side. We've had a couple golden retrievers in our family, and they're just a wonderful dog. Then there's a beaver, right? Beavers are what? They're just workers. They're just hard workers. They just get at it. They just put their nose to the grindstone. You know, now I'm a trapper, so I don't think of beavers as always just hard workers. I think of just mess up places. But anyhow, beavers are just hard workers. I mean, you know, a beaver, the reason they start building dams is when they hear water. When a beaver hears the splash of water, it triggers something in them. It's like, oh, that needs to stop. It needs to be quiet. So they'll just go and start building something and, you know, cover up the water. That's where you can catch them. But anyhow, we won't talk about that. But then the other one is an otter. What do you think of when you think of an otter? Life is just nothing but a big party. I'm telling you, forget responsibility. Like, can't we just turn it into a party? And several years ago when the little girls were littler, they had something to do at church. And I brought them into church, and I didn't want to go all the way home until they were done. So I went over to Shoshone Falls, and I hiked back along the river, hoping to see some otters. And I sat down, and sure enough, it wasn't very long at all. It was similar to this time of year, but there was a little bit of ice on the edges of the water. And in the little eddies where there was no movement, it was kind of iced over a bit. But, spring was not that far around the corner. I watched this otter across the river and, scurry along and then just slide off of the ice. There was a little bit of ice, probably 10 or 12 feet of ice on the edge. Slides down in the ice, and I can see the movement of the water, so I know he's coming my way. And sure enough, he comes out of the water and just looks around and goes down in the water again and comes up with a fish. And for 30 minutes, I got to watch this otter just play. He laid on his back and in the water and, started crunching this fish and play with this fish. Well, another otter downstream saw him and went, "Oh, party, party." So here he comes, or she, I don't know. And I sat there and watched these two otters go up this little spring on the south side of the river and down, chasing one another, biting each other's tail, and just, how many of you have seen people like that? So those type of people, they can celebrate anything. But the rest of us, it just doesn't come natural. It's not that a lion doesn't have fun. It's not that a golden retrievers can have a lot of fun. But they're just loyal. They're just there. If you feel bad, they'll come and lay at your bed and just wait till you feel better, right? I mean, they're just there. It's not that a beaver can't have fun, because they do. But an otter, I know that, it's our perception of the otter. But otters just look like God created them. It's like, all right, there's a party animal on four legs, so just watch them and learn from them, right? And so we have to work at it. So I'm saying this. Celebration is the practice. Everybody say practice. Of bringing joy to our lives. Well, now listen, I know that we would love to just have God just grace us with joy. But the truth is that it's a spiritual practice that needs to be worked at. We can bring joy into our lives. We can bring a celebratory sort of a vibe to our lives. Because here's the reason it's crucial. You can't endure everything without, at some point in time, joy. You can't. If there's no joy ever in your life, I'm going to tell you this. Discipline serving God can never be sustained. There's got to be joy along the way. It holds true in not only life, but in every spiritual thing. If there's not joy somewhere along the way, then what are we going to do? We're going to lose heart, right? Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let's start in verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot, in other words, God who begot, also loves him who's begotten of him. So if you love God, you love those who are begotten of God. Well, now he states it real clear, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. Now, that's kind of interesting. Notice he doesn't say, by this we know that we love God. He says, here's how we know if we love the children of God. And it says this, when we love God and keep his commandments. Now, most of us would probably be able to ascribe to and say, yeah, I love God. How many of you love God this morning? Say, I love God. Okay, so, and when we say we love God, that brings up a picture to us. I love God. Loving God for me is not hard in terms of love as a thought, feeling, decision. Amen? I love him because only he can bring peace like he does. I love him because he's changed my life. I love him because he's brought solutions where I needed answers. I love him because he brings healing where there's sickness. I love him because, right? Are you with me? But then it says, by this we know we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Ooh, I don't know about you, but keeping those commandments just aren't the funnest thing in the whole world. Always. Are you with me? I'm not saying I don't agree with keeping his commandments. I'm just saying that on a real level, it isn't always the funnest thing to do. Then he goes another level, another deal, and he says in verse 3, so look, whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. And then everyone who loves him, who created us, also loves him who's begotten of him. Then he goes a little bit deeper. Here's how we know if we really love the children of God. We define it by loving God and keeping his commandments. Now he goes further. For this is the love of God. Uh-oh. So this is the love of God. So we just can't say, yep, I love God, and you define it. Mm-mm. He defines it. He says, here is the love of God. The love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. So in other words, loving God and keeping his commandments are not mutually exclusive and cannot be done separately. If I love God, I keep his commandments. We can also say, if I don't keep his commandments, I don't love God. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Am I right? Okay, look. Then it says, and his commandments, here's what I love, are not. Everybody say, are not. If I was going to text this to you, I would capitalize R and not. I would want the emphasis to be, and keeping his commandments are not burdensome. So why is that there, do you think? Why do you think the Holy Spirit, through the mouthpiece of John, felt it necessary to include that? Couldn't have God just said, listen, here's the deal. If you believe in Jesus, you're a child of God. If you love those who are begotten of God, great. If you love God, you will keep his commandments. In fact, that's how you define love. He could have just ended with the Nike deal. So just do it. But he said it was important that he included the commandments of God are not burdensome. Why is that important? If you don't mind writing out beside of that scripture, I would write the word perspective. It's important to keep it in perspective. What are you talking about? This April, what's today? Oh, in a month and 2 days, my wife and I will have been married for 33 years. You know, she's a good old gal. I mean, she's a good gal. She's a good gal. I love her. She still Twitterpates my heart. She can cause my heart to skip a beat. And I think I can cause her heart to skip a beat. Can I, babe? All right. Going good so far. You know, at this age, we don't want that skip to last very long. But anyhow, you know what? Sometimes she can look at me and I'll say wink, even though she rarely winks at me. But she can wink with a sparkle that just knocks my legs right out from underneath me. Of which, of course, I just stand. I'm just like, I'm tough. But she can, amen? She can reach over and just put her hand on me, and my heart just starts twittering. Amen? But you know what? She's not the easiest lady to live with. Now, I will say, there may not be anybody easier to live with. And I think she would say, I'm not the easiest guy to live with. Now, what I endeavor to do and what she endeavors to do is I never, ever endeavor to have to make that comparison. Amen? But you know what? It's just not all peaches and cream. Right? There's times, sometimes she can just make me so aggravated that I just have to go outside and do something and say, I'll see you later. And there are so times that I can just make her so aggravated, so frustrated with, you know, maybe we can't get our point across in a way that the other understands. You know what I mean? Any of you experience that? Don't look at me like you have a perfect marriage because you're lying. Right? But here's the deal. Perspective. It's perspective. So if you were to ask me, so is it joyful Having a companion that's your soulmate for life. My answer to you is 1,000 times yes. I wouldn't trade it for $1,000,000. But there's moments that I have to keep perspective that momentarily we might be in a little bit of a snag. We might be in a little bit of coming to the same page. We might be in a little bit of a, right? But big picture, there's nobody else that I'd rather do life with. I chose her then, I would choose her today. Amen? Okay. Children, thank God I've never had to deliver one. Thank God. I can only imagine, though, ladies, that momentarily there may have been a part of the birth process that you wouldn't look in a dictionary and go, fun, the definition, delivering a baby. Probably wouldn't be there. But big picture, how many of you know you forget? In fact, Paul talks about it that way. You forget that, we'll put it in parentheses or quotations. You forget the pain of childbirth because of what? Just because of the overwhelming joy that you're holding a miracle in your hands. Okay, expand that. We've had 4 daughters, and now we have a little guy that's kind of halfway through that growth process on the way to an adult. And you know what? Along the way, big picture, what an enriching thing of those little gifts of God that God's delivered to our home. I wouldn't trade any of them for anything. They've just brought so much good to our lives. But I can point to you many moments that I wouldn't take a plug nickel for any of them. Are you with me? What is that? You know, I wouldn't trade them for a dollar. I wouldn't trade them for $1,000,000, but I wouldn't take a plug nickel for any of them. I shared the story in Nova Scotia. Durrett and I saved our money. Our salary was $125 a week. Gas was $2.89 a gallon. Chicken was $2.89 a pound. We just didn't have a whole lot of extra money. We'll just say that. But we saved, and I got me a gorgeous, gorgeous, double-breasted, navy blue, styling to the nines suit jacket. My first Sunday to wear it, I'm holding my baby girl, Chantel, to which she just chooses to just christen it with puke. The entire coat. So, you know, she starts to puke and it's just everywhere. So you quickly try to turn to puke that way. And while you turn, it just sprays the whole thing. And you know, Durrett breastfed all their deal, but you know, they were past the breastfed. They're now on people food. And boy, when people food enters the picture, changes the whole ball game in terms of odor. Are you with me? Right? So here, my little precious baby girl, cuter than a bug's ear. Just, I'm telling you, it's like you seriously look and go, where are you keeping all that puke? I mean, my gosh, you just keep puking. It just keeps coming out. And the bad thing is she just had a smile on her face. It's like everywhere. And so at the moment, was I mad at her? No, I wasn't mad at her. I mean, how can you get mad at whatever? She didn't, I don't think she tried. But I didn't have time to change coats. I didn't have time to change anything. So I go out and just, you know, wipe it down. And I spoke. I'll just never forget that Sunday. I felt like the little Charlie Brown deal that I had this pig pen smell of just the most putrid puke. And I'm just like, well, sure love our little girl. Yay. But the big picture in life, as they get older, you know, every child makes a decision or decisions along the way that maybe mom and dad, it wouldn't be their best advice, right? So maybe there's a little more time on your knees. Maybe there's a few tears, but big picture perspective, they're gift of God. Gift of God. Wouldn't trade any of my children ever. So momentarily, there can be moments of, but you know what? It's just like serving God. There's moments of, oh, God, seriously, I have to go through this again. Why? Have you ever been mad at yourself? I mean, you get sometimes, you're past God, you're past whatever. Have you ever been just mad at yourself? It's like, seriously, you're 35 years old and you're still doing this. Or seriously, you've walked with God for 40 plus years and you're still going around that same bush. Grow up. So there's times that momentarily the commandments of God are not fun. It's just not fun. It's just like, it's a struggle. It's like, ah. But here's what our perspective must be. The commandments of God, loving God, are not burdensome. I think a lot of people have the idea that the teaching of that, not burdensome, is, so just don't worry about it. Just love God. Well, he said, New Testament, he said, loving God is doing his commandments. So you can't just negate it. This is not a feeling of love, just love you, man. No, it's if we're going to love God, we can't be a mile wide and a half inch deep. We're going to have to get down and dirty with some things. It's like, seriously, you still lie. Seriously, you're still bound by, Seriously, you're still, Seriously, you're still what? And that's against God. Okay, momentarily, it may not be always just a ball of joy. But our perspective says, you know what? I don't know about you, that old chorus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than I'm looking at your mouth, babe. Anything this world affords today. How many of you believe that? I would. You know what? Serving Christ, being in the world, I'll serve Christ any day. Amen? Any day. Serving Christ, and you know, I'll take serving God any day of the week. No matter if there's a difficulty that I may come up against or whatever it may be, I'm still going to serve him. Why? Because the weight of joy far exceeds any momentary struggle. Amen? You see, God's not miserable. Now think about this. John the Baptist was accused of his piety. Okay, so when they came against John the Baptist, they kind of went, well, all he does is fast and pray. Okay, well, he's just super spiritual. Do you know what Jesus was accused of? He was accused of being a party animal. Scripture uses the word wine bibber and glutton. I'm putting in modern day language. John the Baptist was accused of being super spiritual. Jesus was accused of being the life of the party. Seriously, how do you know that? Who followed Jesus by the droves? Children. Children do not follow sourpuss people. Children do not follow people that don't know how to have fun. Children are drawn to people that know how to love life. And children thronged Jesus. I don't know what your view of Jesus is. I believe he was a deeply spiritual man. I believe he was deeply spiritual. I believe he was deep. But I also believe that he would be the guy that you would want to hang with because he was going to have fun in life. In fact, all of these disciplines, guys, here's the thing. All of these disciplines, if we end up down the road doing these disciplines and we're sourpuss, super spiritual people that just are gloomy and we are the wet blanket to every fire that we come across, then we're doing them wrong. Amen? Here's the thing. God's not miserable to be around. I know some of us in Christianity were taught Christianity is just a list of a bunch of don'ts. Amen? God and fun are not mutually exclusive. So how can we practice at having joy in our lives? So listen, you may stand up to the goal line or to the, what do you call it? Is that what you call it when you shoot a? You may step up to the foul line, the free throw line of joy and shoot and you may fail. Don't throw the basketball away. Get it out, come back, stand up to the foul line again. If you don't get it, you may need to call a friend. You may need to call somebody along and say, come alongside me because I just suck at this. Okay? That's okay. Let's practice. So how do we practice? Number one, practice at seeing good in the midst of bad. Amen? practice seeing good in the midst. And that takes a while, because let me just tell you what, good's not always evident at the surface. Isn't that right? Okay. Do you think God is good at taking bad things and putting his spin on it? And when we look back, it's like, holy smoke. It's amazing how God can take stuff that's random, stuff that's maybe tragic, stuff that's bad. It's amazing how God can take it and turn around and make a masterpiece out of it. And we just go, where did that come from? So then the problem is people begin to interpret that. Because God turned something good, people begin to always say, well, then he caused the bad. No, don't go there, because that's actually illogical conclusion making. It's just that God is great at taking a group of... Have you ever watched Junkyard Wars? I love that. I made it to the second round on Junkyard Wars. Then they canceled the show. Junkyard Wars is people are given something that they have to make out of junk, right? And it's amazing. Okay, yeah, it may look like junk, and thank God that God's better at it than we are as humans. But it's amazing how a group of guys can go to a junkyard and say, you need to produce this, and how they can take things and repurpose them for something completely different. So here's, if you're going to use that same logic, then you'd have to say, so is that the reason the junkyard was put in place? No, it was a junkyard. It's just somebody looked at the junkyard from a different perspective. How many of you know the junk that happens in our lives, the stuff that God had nothing to do with, if we'll simply give it to God, just give God a chance to just do this. Hang on. All right, hang on. Let me just look a little bit. Okay. Then how many of you know God can just begin to take this piece of junk, and this tragic thing in your life, and let God have an opportunity at it, and God will come out and go, now. Then he can go, all right, let's have the reveal. 3, 2, 1, and he can pull it back on our lives, and we look at it, and you go, and you recognize that thing, and you recognize that thing, and you recognize that thing, and the God of the universe just took it because he's filled with creativity and life, and he turns it into a masterpiece, and you just go, wow, it just makes me want to go, that's my dad who did that. Amen? So it's not that God's caused the stuff. It's just that let's give God the opportunity to redeem the stuff. To use an eco-friendly word, a green word today, let's let God just simply repurpose a few things in our life. So if the purpose of the enemy was to bring you lifelong defeat, let's let God repurpose the devil's defeat and turn it into a victory. Well, I just don't even like thinking that way. I do. I love to just think. And actually, it makes me excited to go, okay, now, did I love going through a tough time? No. Did God design that tough time for my life? You know, I don't look at it that way. I just look at it, you know what? Man, that was a junk time. But you know what, Father? I'm going to submit all of this. I'm going to take this heap of stuff to you. And now I just can't wait to see what you do with it. Amen? Let's practice seeing good through the bad. In the middle of that, how many of you know you get what you look for? You know, is the glass half full, half empty? Kind of like a butterfly. When a butterfly goes into the woods, and what's he after? Flowers. What's a butterfly going to find? Flowers. Are you with me? Why? He's looking for flowers. An anteater goes into the woods, looks for what? Ants. What's he going to do with the ants? Eat them. Are there any flowers? Yep. It's not what he's looking for. What are you looking for as you go through life? Do you look for the blessing of God? Or do you look for just a hard way? Do you just look for the enemy to just hammer you on every side? Will you get hammered? You might. But you know what? I'm going to look for the blessing of God. I'm going to look for the will of God. I'm going to look for the purpose of God. In tough situations, you know what? I'm going to look for good in the situation. I'm not going to look for the bad. How many of you know bad usually makes itself known pretty clearly? If we're going to get practice at living a life of celebration, we got to get good at digging below the surface and seeing what God sees. Second, practice taking yourself less serious, because nobody takes you as seriously as you take yourself. Why is that important? Because if we don't take ourselves less seriously, you know what will end up happening in our lives? The world revolves around us. In 1 In Philippians chapter 1, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, the Apostle Paul uses a big boy look at circumstances. Earlier in the chapter, Paul seems to point out some things that, you know what? Boy, people kind of came against me. I mean, Paul had this idea, all I wanted to do was help people, and I go out to help people, and then people come against me. They say my theology's wrong. They try to take me out to stone me. They hammer me on every side. And then around in verse 12, these same people that are against him begin to preach the word. Now, what they're trying to do is set everybody straight, saying that Paul was wrong. Now, Paul could take himself so seriously that he just goes and tries to correct them, just goes and tries to correct them, just goes and tries to correct them. But instead, in verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, here's what the Apostle Paul says. He says, you know what? Listen, here's the deal. The word of God is going forth. I'm happy for that. It may be going forth in selfishness, selfish ambition, or it may be even going forth in contention. He says, but you know, big picture, the word of God is going out. So in that, I rejoice. Amen? The thing is let's just ask ourselves, here's a question that can kind of help you in not taking yourself so seriously. Ask yourself this question often. What does it really matter? What does it really matter? Amen? So when you're having that argument with your wife and you're just about to prove your point, you're just about to play the trump card, ask yourself this question. What does it really matter? Well, that relationship that you have with somebody, you know, a friend or whatever, and maybe it's kind of on the line, maybe the relationship's gone through kind of a tough time, and you're just ready to draw the line in the sand, bless God, I'm not going to take this anymore. Ask yourself this question. What does it really matter for me to prove my point? Amen? And then the third thing is to practice a life of obedience. You go, well, there you go. Now you're getting us to do something. Boy, that sounds fun. That sounds like celebration. Well, let's close with this. Go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 10. If you keep my commandments, so how many of you know the word keep means obey? Right? You can't keep something unless you obey. You will abide in my love. Well, that's good. Okay. Still nothing about joy. Just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I've spoken to you, look at this, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. True joy only comes by obeying Christ. If we expect to enjoy a lifetime of celebration, a lifetime of joy, obedience has to be part of the mix. Isn't that right? I love what St. Augustine said. Here's what he said. Very one sentence. The Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. I like that. The Christian should be an alleluia from head to foot. We're approaching Easter. The tomb is empty. The throne is occupied. What else matters? Amen. How many of you know in Christ we have not only have victory, but in Christ we have joy? So everybody say, I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to be joyful. And I'm going to practice at it till I get good at it. Amen.